Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in Austin, Texas, joined by a very special guest, one that I used to be a fan of, actually, and am now sleeping on the couch of, Jazzy Ann. You might recognize her from your childhood because she was part of one of the biggest kids' channels back in the early 2010s. Seven Supergirls. In this episode, we talk about how we went from like a parasocial relationship to an actual real friendship. Jazzy also gets into her time at Seven Supergirls and what being a child star was like and her thoughts on that and reflection and looking back and all the good stuff. It's a good episode. I love Jazzy Ann and I hope you love the episode. Jazzy Ann.
Hello.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Boy. I'm so excited to have you here.
I feel so honored to be here.
I feel so honored to have you here.
Well, I feel so honored to be here.
After this, do you want to do it? We can keep the camera right there too.
Stop. On your Patreon?
Guys, check out my Patreon. Oh my gosh. No, I'm so excited to have you here. Well, I mean, like, to be on your couch and in your house.
I'm never wiping this couch down.
That's okay.
I don't think you understand. We're flirting so hard already. Like, we just started.
I've been staying at your house in Austin, Texas for a week now. I want to go ahead and... It's been a good trip for the most part.
Mm-hmm. It's been nice to just spend time together.
Yeah, and not even do it for like views or for money.
Why would you even suggest that?
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to talk about your eye?
Oh, I guess if we have to freaking bring that up.
Oh, sorry, I'm not trying to take over the podcast.
No, great. No, because we can't. Because everyone's freaking looking at it because it's so ugly and I look so ugly this week. I look so ugly this week because I fell asleep. Oh, let me guess. I fell asleep in my contacts on Halloween on October 31st and woke up with a swollen eyelid that hasn't been getting any better. And so I had to stop wearing my contacts, but I forgot to bring my glasses with me to Texas. So I've just not been able to see this entire week. So not only have I been ugly, but I've been blind. No offense to ugly people or blind people.
Is that what you wanted?
Yeah. I wanted you to share your story.
Yeah, so one of my eyes is smaller than the other, and it's not because I'm smirking slightly. But we went to Trader Joe's because I don't have those where I'm from.
And Koi really wanted to try a lot of the snacks, but he couldn't see because he didn't have his contacts in. So I took a time lapse of him. It was just so interesting. It was so silly to see him walking around.
It was so interesting. Like, you're trying so hard not to make fun of me.
I mean, he was bent over AF in the Trader Joe's. Trying to read everything.
I was putting on a show in the Trader Joe's.
And it was packed. The checkout line was so long. Yes. Everyone was watching you bend over.
Hey, it really was the checkout line, huh?
Oh!
So, Seven Supergirls, you were on a YouTube channel...
There were actually 8 girls on it total because 2 girls shared one day.
Absolutely not.
They were my besties though.
Wait, you're telling me there were 8 Supergirls?
There were 8 Supergirls on a channel called Seven Supergirls.
No.
Whose podcast is this? Oh, yours.
So how many girls were there?
There were 8. But I understand that's confusing to the viewer if you've never heard of this before. Seven Supergirls was a channel I was a part of when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And it was this channel where there were 7 girls because there are 7 days of the week. So we were all on a certain day and we would post on that day. Mm-hmm. We would get a theme of the week and we would have to make a skit based off of that theme. So a theme would be the mischievous blank. So one time I did
that
like...
That didn't make sense to me.
The what kind of mis- I did like the mischievous donut portal.
I love that video. Insert a clip.
This was a channel for younger kids.
Yes. But you guys were young kids yourself.
Yeah.
You were living the dream
that every kid wanted as you were a kid.
Like, low key, it was really, really awesome to be a part of.
I'm glad you have good things to say about it, because I feel like a lot of people who were like child stars, they have mixed feelings about their past.
I mean, we'll get into the lore if you don't know it, but our manager was a freak, the guy that ran the channel. But honestly, like, well, okay, he was a freak, period.
Right.
End of sentence.
Right.
But I was never a favorite of his. So I was really lucky in the sense that, like, I was able to, like, get away with stuff. And just, like, he wasn't so concerned about my image on the channel. When I was younger and I saw that these other girls were his favorites, I was like, what the heck am I doing wrong? But now that I'm older, I really see that, honestly, it was like a blessing in disguise. I was being protected by not being a favorite.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So much of that exists within, like, young kids, like, entertainment industry, like-ish kind of things of, like, the person who's in charge, like, having favorites and then, like, using that to, like it, and some people are, like, less shy about it than others, like Abby Lee Miller and her pyramid. Like, that was, like, literally the
the
peak of that. But I remember when I was in theater, I would always hear, like, about the politics of children's theater.
What
the quote unquote politics. And it was basically like whose mom did what and how much the director likes you because of that.
It's so dumb because it literally like forces you, especially as a kid, it forces you to compare yourself to these other people that you should really just be teaming up with and being friends with.
Yes.
Because we're all going through the same drama. Mm-hmm. It's very manipulative.
Were you were Tuesdays on Seven Supergirls, right?
You knew?
I only know from my comment sections. They're oh my gosh, Tuesdays were the best. I love Jazzy Ann so much.
I was totally terrific Tuesday. Aww. And I started that. I started the alliteration. And I remember, some girls copied me.
Ooh.
But it's okay. I don't care. My video still did better than them.
Aside from the competitiveness, that's probably like it's probably a really fun community of girls to like grow up in, you know, of like creative. You all get to kind of be like famous together and experience. Because I feel like a big thing with YouTube is it's very like isolating. You're going through something that not many people around you are going through. I mean, like imagine being Ryan's toy reviews, being 10 years old. You don't have anyone else at elementary school that's going to be able to relate to you.
Yeah.
But like you had other people whose moms also had to drive them to meet and greets.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, whenever I first joined Seven Supergirls, the channel wasn't at its peak yet.
How did you get that?
What do you mean?
Like what? How did you join Seven Supergirls? What?
There was an audition process. Okay. So every summer they would have auditions.
Sorry. I want to set the stakes right now.
Set the stakes.
How big was Seven Supergirls?
Okay, so when I first auditioned, I think like they had 600,000, 700,000 subscribers.
Huge for the time.
For the time. But there wasn't just Seven Supergirls. There were 9 other versions of it owned by the same guy. And it was ranked like based off of how many subscribers each channel had.
Oh.
And essentially, there was this like hierarchy ranking system where based off how your video performs, you get like a point value and that moves you up in ranking. So whenever
don't move on from that. Like that's not the craziest most like it for children, right?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So there was this competitive nature already put in there.
Right.
But like, I don't mean to toot my own horn. My videos always did really well. So like I didn't feel that competitiveness. I just always felt very like confident and like, okay, like I'm doing fine.
Right. I'm sure the other girls loved you. They loved that attitude. You're like, they're like, I feel like my video isn't going to perform very well. I feel like I'm not doing well. I just feel like I'm not as good as the other girls. You're like, girls, why don't you feel so confident? You're like, this is fun.
I mean, it's not like my videos were always number one throughout the week. You know, I had my number two, my number three. I was number four.
Mid.
But I started on a on a channel with less subscribers, and essentially I like worked my way up to it's seven Supergirls. Yes,
seven Supergirls is an MLM.
Yes, it literally is. I never thought about that. Yes, I was first on seven Twinkling Tweens.
I was there too. Oh, I was there too.
I was there for 3 months, I think, which was the second most popular channel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that channel for 2.5 years. That whole time, I was just waiting until I was going to be on Seven Supergirls. Like I said, there was a ranking system. So naturally, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I knew that I was right for Seven Supergirls because where I was in the ranking, right?
Right.
There were a few times where the manager would have issues with my videos. Like, maybe I would make a joke and he would just be like, he just didn't like it. Or sometimes I would make a whole video and he would, one time I made a video where I was pretending to be a Sim, like playing The Sims.
Right.
And then he was really worried about copyright or like what? Something like that. And it was literally Monday and he was like, you need to fix your video. And I argued with him because I was like, that is so unfair. I sent this video in 5 days ago. You could have given me so much more time to recreate it. And I was also in school at the time.
Yeah. Also, not to mention like when you're a kid.
Yes.
Not to mention that like you also have the very important job of like being a kid.
A student. Yes.
No, outside of being a student.
Oh, like, true.
Being a kid.
Sorry, my mind immediately always goes to like working because anyways, but.
Wonder where that came from. Anyway, so your manager, he was encouraging you to work, you were saying?
Like, I was arguing with him so much and my dad hopped in on too. My dad was always supporting me.
Skype?
Yes, on Skype.
Of course.
And he ended up saying something like, if you don't fix this, then you'll never be on Seven Supergirls. And I was like, this MF, like, okay, he wins. That's just one example, but that was like a recurring thing. I really, really, really wanted to be on Seven Supergirls and I worked so hard for it. Like, it was a big goal of mine and I was gonna get it.
Wait, that's crazy though.
Yes.
That he would like just hold that over your head and be like, yeah, well, you want to be on. Also, it's crazy that he was like, I'm afraid of a Sims copyright strike, as if a video game would be copyrighted on YouTube.
Yeah, I really didn't understand. That's the other thing. A lot of his logic didn't make sense. He would complain about things where genuinely there was no problem. It's just that he just didn't like it or he just wanted to have fun and use his power. Yeah. I really don't know.
Where is he right now?
Somewhere in the UK. He's never allowed back into the United States.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's more lore. I don't know if we want to get into it.
I want to stop talking about him. I just wanted to know where he was and picture him really sad, having a terrible time. Which is if he's in the UK, he's...
Oh, he's definitely having a terrible time.
Okay,
like,
good.
Like this whole thing that he had built for years crumbled in front of his face because of his own actions.
How many subscribers did they get to?
8 million.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. But it was so cool after I joined, like a couple months. I don't know. Our channel just started popping off.
Yeah.
It was so cool to see. I had never been a part of something like that.
And yeah.
Like, it was never why I joined the channel in the first place, but like, it was very cool to be a part of.
You had the bedroom growing up as well.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Jazzy.
Insert picture.
Bedroom, yes. Your bedroom actually like exists as one of those places that you didn't think was real when you were a kid, but you wanted to be.
You know what? This is a great
lime green walls, zebra bed sheets, big pink J. I'm sure there was one somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, like being on Seven Supergirls, okay, the number one girl on Seven Supergirls, Kaylin. Awesome girl. Mm-hmm. Awesome person. She had the room. She set the standard. And
bitch.
No, she had a really awesome room.
Yeah.
And like, I was a fan of her before I was on Seven Supergirls. Oh. So when I got on Seven Supergirls, I was like, okay, I need to have a awesome room.
Uh-huh.
So I just went, and my personality is very like, just loud.
Weird and loud, uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just like... You know, as a girl in middle school, I just really committed to that
mm-hmm,
and did everything I wanted to. And I remember one time my friend from theater came over for the first time, walked into my bedroom and was like, do you not get a headache? Like, what the... I didn't know how to respond.
It is, objectively ugly.
Yeah, obviously.
But that was the time.
It was so the time.
Oh, my gosh. Being ugly was being cool.
Yes. And
let's bring that back. Some of you were trying. Some of you were trying so hard to bring back ugly, and I'm really, really salute you.
I don't think it was... The goal wasn't for it to be ugly, but, no. It was just very, expressive. That was the whole point.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool that at a young age you were encouraged and rewarded for your loud self-expression, because a lot of people around that age don't get that. They get the opposite. We're especially teenage girls, if they're loud, expressive, and I'm a feminist. If you're new to this podcast, I am a feminist. I've seen the Barbie movie twice and I want to watch it a third time.
Koi really understands me.
Thank you so much. Some would argue that because I'm from an outside perspective, that I understand women's struggles more than they do themselves. Mm. Some would argue. I wouldn't say that specifically, but I've heard rumors of that I understand what women are going through more than they might.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're not the one saying that. That really shows that you really do understand your place when it comes to women's issues and women's...
Can you... I was talking. There's...
Oh! Sorry.
Right.
The man's talking. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about women's issues. So, do you want things fixed or not?
sorry. I'm listening.
No, but you had, I don't know, a lot of teenage girls are shut down for their interests and shamed for it or mocked for it.
Yes.
And
you probably
were to a degree in real life.
Yes.
But online, you had a place to be yourself, you know?
That's actually really interesting you bring that up. I had never thought of that before. Sometimes I felt like Hannah Montana. Mm. Like I got to be this girl on camera for all these fans. And then in school, I was still myself as much as I could be, but I definitely felt like an outcast because I was myself. Yeah, just a lot of the boys thought I was weird and stuff.
Because I think that a lot of people think that fame will give you this newfound confidence in yourself. But a lot of times it does the exact opposite, which is on camera, you probably felt this confidence to be yourself. But when you go to school, at least this is my experience, the Hannah Montana effect is when I'm Miley Cyrus and I'm sat down in school, I still feel like everyone's watching me.
Yes.
And I'm I need to be this perfect version of the person that exists online that I'm praised for.
Yes.
But I can't be that sitting in school, you know? So it feels like...
You really understand women's issues.
People have been saying that.
No, but that's very true. And I know that a lot of, outside of Seven Supergirls, I know a lot of content creators deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It can be very confusing to have people respond to you a certain way in real life and then be this person on the internet for so many other people. It's very confusing I definitely have always felt this insane pressure to be this perfect person. Always.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
You're really doing a bad job.
What the? Good. My therapist would be good.
That's what I'm saying. I think good. You don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. I've always known that intellectually, but it's taken me a very long time to come to terms with accepting that. And I'm still accepting that.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to unlearn, especially when you learn it. It's such a young age.
Yeah.
I think everyone learns that to a degree at a young age. But the psychology of being famous when you're 12 years old is that's going to lead to something.
A lot of people that aren't in the spotlight still deal with perfectionism, but I will say being in the spotlight makes it so much more to deal with.
Because insecurity is this feeling oh my gosh, everyone's looking at me. Everyone's noticing all the things that I do. What if I mess up and it ruins everything? And then fame is
here
is proof that everyone is looking at you and that if you mess up, everything will go wrong.
Yeah.
So you went from Seven Supergirls to your own channel, right? What was that transition like?
I was getting older. My last year on Seven Supergirls, I was a freshman in high school. And so naturally my jokes were getting a little edgier. And because the channel was had blown up a lot, we were at like 7 million subscribers or something, there was a new business aspect to it. There were sponsors involved. There was an image that needed to be there. And because I was growing older, I just didn't fit the image that our manager wanted. Right. I wasn't like this like young
tween.
Yeah, exactly.
You weren't a twinkling tween anymore.
I wasn't a twinkling tween. It was only natural that my videos were changing. And my fans were getting a little bit older too. It made sense. But my
they started to be about things like butts. And toilets.
Yeah, it was just a little bit more edgy. I don't even remember, like, probably. Okay. It was probably about that.
Yeah.
The guy that ran the channel always had issues with my videos now. Like, every week there was something. And it was just because I wasn't listening to what he wanted me to do. Because why would I? I'm not, like, I know what's going to do well.
Right.
And also the channel started getting to a point, like, you just see how the business is affecting everything and mm-hmm. how, like, it's just not enough and, like, how they just want more and more and more and more and more. Yeah. So that really started to change the vibe of the channel.
Mm-hmm. And this is, like, the place I used to run around with Seven Super Boys.
Oh my gosh. Wait, doesn't that go by
Mr. Beast.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. Obviously, because that was his mindset, it affected how all of us on the channel felt. So I quit and four girls all quit at the same time. Because we were all tired of it. So then that's what led me to do my own channel. I was like, this just isn't for me anymore. I'm growing out of this. And he's not letting us grow up with it. So why would I stay here?
Well, this is the part of your journey where I found you. I don't know what the first Jazzy Ann video I watched was.
Did you guys know that Koi was a fan of mine?
I was a fan.
And now we're besties. It could happen to you.
If you're watching this and you feel like we're friends, you feel like we're connected, keep holding out hope.
You never know.
And also, don't try to get other friends in the meantime, or else maybe there won't be room for me when we do meet.
That's smart.
Thank you. And it worked for me. So, I watched
you. Oh, you were pining after being friends with me.
That's why I started this job. Well, thanks so much for coming. 2018 was like a weird time for YouTube.
It was. Like, I would watch people like Emma Chamberlain, Hannah Meloche, Marla Catherine, like all of these girls. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to be them. And I felt like I wasn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me insecure.
If you were like them, people wouldn't know your name.
Yeah. Well, now I understand that. But as a girl doing her thing individually for the first time, I felt like I had to be like these other girls I saw that were doing well.
Because YouTube is like such this like funny little job, like it's so downplayed how brave you have to be to just like be mm-hmm. that age and a girl on YouTube being funny.
No,
and you were
right,
like making new videos all the time. And you were doing that at a time where like it was hard to do that.
Making videos in high school was like at this specific era was really interesting because I felt like my friends in real life were telling me like, Jazzy, your videos are like the funniest they've ever been. Like, and I was getting so much support. But there was this thing in me that would watch these videos, see how well they did, see how well they were received, and I hated them. I didn't understand why. It was very, very confusing.
Well, I liked them.
Thank you.
The videos, yeah.
And me looking back now, I really liked them because it was so me. It was exactly who I was at the time.
So my first VidCon, 2022, I'm in the VidCon lobby. I see the Jazzy Ann from middle school and early high school standing over there. And I'm going to go up to her. And I go up to her and I say, hi, I'm Koi. And what did I say? I think I said, I used to watch your videos, and they really inspired me, and now I'm here. So that's really cool.
This was in the VidCon lobby?
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember? Cool.
I honestly don't remember that.
Oh, that's weird, because that's when we first met. Oh, that's weird, because I knew that I was going to remember that moment for the rest of my life before it even happened, so.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
When did we first meet in your head?
I remember interacting with you at the Amazon party.
Yes. That was that day yeah, as well. Yeah. But then later I got into an Amazon Prime party, which I think I just explained that story in my last episode. So of how I got into the Amazon Prime party.
I guess, but that makes sense.
Because we were both like, did you see James Charles? Like, we were freaking out. Remember James Charles was there?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw Brent Rivera at the TikTok house party, and I literally was like, not Brent Rivera. And he turned around.
Oh, that's so scary. Did he have his shirt off? Did he have his shirt off?
I wish.
It's okay. If you ever want to see his abs, look at his thumbnails.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we saw each other at the Amazon Prime party, and we like hung out there a little bit. That makes sense to me.
I remember we must have met. Yeah, we definitely did meet in the VidCon lobby. I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
Yeah, we definitely did.
That's why we were hanging out at the Amazon Prime party.
Yes.
I remember we took a photo together in the photo booth.
Oh my gosh, we did.
Who has that? Who has that?
Where is that? I don't think I have it.
I don't know.
I don't think I have it. Yeah, and you made me pay you for the photo.
Yeah.
You turned around. I was like, oh, this was really fun. You turned around a tip jar, a little tip iPad. Yeah, me press one of the selections. I was like, what's wrong
with
you?
Yeah,
you said you were a fan, right?
That's how I treat all my fans.
And then, yeah. And then you had some of your merch on you for sale, which I've just never seen before. I've never seen. James Charles walked out of there with a Welcome Back Snacks fanny pack.
Oh, I need to see James Charles in a Welcome Back Snacks fanny pack.
Really?
My ex-boyfriend came up with that idea.
The
fanny pack.
Really?
Loki, he ate with that.
Do you know that my ex-boyfriend gave me... Oh, I've never talked about this. But my ex-boyfriend gave me a stuffed animal. And then that stuffed animal sat in the background of my streams for so long. And then it just became a part of my streams. And even after we broke up. But it became such a huge part of the streams to the point where I got sponsored by the company that made the stuffed animal.
You told me this story.
That was my boyfriend's. That my boyfriend gave me that stuffed animal.
Aww.
And by boyfriend, I mean girlfriend. Grandma.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
I don't know if she's listening to this obviously. One. Obviously, you're straight. Man's friend.
Ew. What? Please.
Is this... Hey.
It's so attractive when men make themselves as wide as possible. It's so hot.
Yeah, so I was really obsessed with you when we met, and now we've kind of switched tables.
Roles.
Yeah, and we have a one-sided relationship, but the other way.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Koi, and I need him so badly.
You really, I really am like not sure how much of this is a bit. Like, like a lot of the time, like I'll do something, like I don't know, like something stupid, like the wind will be blowing through my hair at golden hour while I'm like playing the guitar and singing a song, you know, we're on a picnic and you're like,
I'm in love with you.
You're like you'll be like, or no, you say it like you're confessing to me, like I need to give you advice on something, and you're like, I think I'm in love with a gay man, what do I do?
Okay, I will say to that, it's not a bit. Well, hang on, now I'm getting shy.
Okay, it's clearly not a bit. I just saw right then. Wait, Jazzy. Well, okay.
Stop. We don't need to talk about it.
What? That we sleep together? We don't need to talk about that there's...
We're in the same bed.
Okay, wait. Actually, I think our power dynamics cancel each other out. I was a fan of you and you have a crush on me. Therefore, us sleeping together is okay.
I agree. It's fine, guys. Well, like, here's the thing. You know what? I can explain this confidently. There's no stakes. Here's the thing. Because we're not going to ever get into a relationship, I can love you so much. And there's no stakes. Mm. And, like, yeah.
Except I will. The only stakes are, like, any love you give me can be used against you in the future. I do that.
Well, loving someone is never a waste, okay? And I truthfully believe that. Obviously, like, yes, I'm in love with you, but I'm not like,
there's no, like, where's the lust? Where's the lust?
I'm not trying to get with you.
I need more. You need to amp up the lust because I'm not believing it.
Ugh. Listen, At the same time, I'm also not trying to cock block myself, okay?
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Let's get back to the original point.
You said something. I just have no idea what you said. Let's just move on. Whenever
we first met, hanging out at that Amazon Prime party, to be so transparent with you, I mean, I was happy to hang out with you, but in my head, you were a fan.
Yeah.
I was being, like, extra nice to you.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm surprised still that we've, like, made it this far.
Same. You know? Oh, my God, same.
Yeah, because, like, you
would have never saw this coming.
Yeah.
Being so honest.
Me neither. Well, if I would have seen this coming, I would have not introduced myself as someone who watched you immediately. But I was like, I was like, this is a moment where, like, I have no idea if I'm ever going to be in the same room with her again. I just have to, like, say thank you and be just for me and for her, you know? But when you do that, you do kind of set a boundary between you and the person.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Because, yeah, in my head, like, I do remember you saying, you inspired me to start making videos and I'm here now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. Oh,
glad that rings a bell now.
So yes, I, like, you were a fan in my head. And I remember at that Amazon Prime party, I was being extra nice to you, but I really just wanted to hang out with Weston and Kaylin Corey. I really just wanted to hang out with them.
And you didn't?
They did not want to hang out with me.
And I did.
That's what happened.
Played. They don't know my names.
That's what happened.
Okay.
But then I guess we exchanged Instagrams.
We did.
Yeah. But then we didn't talk for like a year. But then you messaged me the next VidCon and you were like, hey, we should meet up.
Ew.
Well, because you were going to VidCon, which I don't think is that crazy.
Yeah.
I will be so honest. I was very much like, oh, yeah, we'll meet up. But, like, this is me going out of my way to be nice to this person that I know was a fan.
Oh, yeah.
And then we did hang out a little bit at, was it an Amazon Prime party again? It was some party. We were hanging out again. It was some party with loud music.
Mm-hmm.
We meet up for 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go get a drink. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'll just stay here. And then I go get a drink and it's taking way longer than I expected. But low-key, I was kind of like, okay, thank you. It's taking longer than I expected because I was feeling really awkward around you. I'll be so honest. I needed to escape.
That's crazy to hear this perspective of this that you were like, I mean, like, obviously, rightfully so, you were still like.
Yeah.
You were still like, I don't really know about this. And like.
Yeah, I mean, I thought like, because to me, you were still just a person I knew as my fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was like happy that the drinks were taking longer. And then you ended up leaving. And I was like, oh, phew. Thank God. Because I was feeling so awkward.
That was kind of like a baller move for me though.
Yeah.
I didn't have to wait, you know?
You left.
Yeah. You literally like, oh, this fan is obsessed with me. Like, he's probably still waiting back there. He's probably, and like, then you come back, the entire group's gone. You have no one to hang out with.
Uh-uh.
Oh. That would have been funny, though.
I was hanging out with Nathan Zed. Nathan Zed is so cool. He's a commentary YouTuber. Stop. Biggest flex ever that I'm friends with him.
Stop name dropping. Stop.
Anyways.
You're setting a boundary between you and Nathan.
No. I take it back. Then there was, on the last night of VidCon,
mm-hmm.
you, me, Ben, and I don't know, we got some, and Toby maybe?
Yeah.
For some reason, we were all a group.
It just kind of happened. We were all like kind of on our way to this event. And like, it just like, we were the people, like we were all late because you were putting on your shoes.
Oh, you know what? Ben and I were trying to hang out like all of VidCon, but he was so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also this like, I felt bad because we had been trying to hang out and I kept saying we would and then we hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this group kind of formed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we went to that part with some house party.
That was that one?
And we saw the movie together. Was that that?
That's crazy.
Right?
Because we like instantly became friends then.
Yes.
Like the moment we spent more than like
5 minutes together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww. That's actually really sweet.
That is
like,
so sweet.
Because I'm like, that can't be that party. Because that party's like, I feel like we're such good friends by then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But VidCon will do that.
VidCon does do
that. It's kind of like if you've ever been to like a summer camp or something, and by the end of the summer camp, you're like, oh.
We're like,
You're like, it's only been 3 days, but I think I've known this person forever.
Stop.
And that was literally us in the Snapchat lounge.
Yeah. And then...
These are the only stories here that won't expire after 24 hours.
I just remember my I bought these shoes from Depop, and they broke at the house party, and I was drunk, and I was rubbing my shoe on everyone's head.
Not your shoe. It was like the flap that fell off your shoe, and you were just wagging it around everywhere.
And you were petting you with it.
Yeah, you kept petting me with it. You're just walking around the party, like, and this party was the lamest vibe in the entire world.
It was so lame.
Oh my gosh. And we were like trying to dodge this like one manager there that is just like so toxic and predatory and really scary. And like, he looks like he's 30, but he's actually like 15 or something. I don't even know how it works. It's really scary.
Yeah, wait, that's a perfect way to describe
like him. Literally, this is him. And he just shows up randomly behind you like you actually think you're safe, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I'll just like hang out here, and then suddenly like he has a Chipotle deal for you behind you, and you're like, get away from me.
Vibes were so weird, but I think that it like made us bond more because we were able to laugh at it. It was so fun.
And that's like the nature of our relationship now, you know,
just being mean to other people.
Yes.
But
feeling kind of off put by the creator scene currently that there currently is. And I feel like if people aren't put off by the creator scene currently, then they're a little off putting themselves.
Oh yeah. You know? I will say like that is one thing I really value about our friendship is I love like observing the world with you. And it's not in a way where it's like toxic negativity or just talking crap all the time about others, but it's just in a way where like we're observing things and it's funny. It's so interesting. Everyone's a character, and I love that you get that.
Yes.
After that party at VidCon, we ended up staying in LA for another week. I don't remember why.
I don't remember why either, but you had time there, and I remember I extended my flight because I was like, yeah, I want to keep hanging out with them. Like, we all just wanted to keep hanging out. I extended my flight, and then I was just like couch surfing. Oh,
I remember after that trip. Oh, because also this was a period where I wasn't posting on YouTube. I didn't know what I was doing. I felt very lost and insecure.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just being like, Koi is so funny. And just like, you weren't a fan to me anymore. I was like, we get along. Like, I don't need to treat this relationship like this.
Well, I knew in great detail exactly who you were. So, of course, we got along. I shaped my personality so that we could.
I will say something that's really interesting and very beautiful to me is I love that Koi was a fan of me in like a very important like period of my YouTube career. And now it's just interesting because literally the tables have turned. Well, I'm not like a fan like that. I mean, I watch your video, but like we have a friendship.
Yeah.
But Koi.
Yeah, this is what I sounded like at VidCon 2022.
Koi has like 100% been so inspiring to me to come back to YouTube and to get excited about making videos again. Yeah, and I'm very grateful that I met you. I feel like you have been so helpful with like just knowing how to like deal with imposter syndrome, and you just have made me feel very less alone because it's hard to know exactly how to deal with these feelings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So just knowing that someone else gets it has been so nice.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that we were friends. And I never would have expected it. I never would have expected it. Okay.
Yeah, because usually you only date fans. You don't become friends with them.
I will say every guy that I've dated, every guy I've been with has had a little sister that is a fan. So now it's a requirement for me.
I don't like that.
Because if their little sister is a fan, then there are more stakes. You better freaking treat me right. You better not mess this up, bro.
Oh, that's so fair. You better not mess this up. Or else she's not getting her autograph.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you obviously inspire me and help me with imposter syndrome and stuff as well. Because, like, seeing that you struggle with a lot of the same things that I do when, like, literally, like, in my mind, you are one of those creators that would then, like, contribute to the feeling of imposter syndrome. Because you know, there was a time where you felt more like a creator than a friend to me, you know, and, like, seeing you struggle with imposter syndrome, and I'm like, no, you've literally been famous longer than anyone ever has. Like, why would you ever doubt that? And then, like, seeing you deal with a lot of the same issues, even though, like, you were the thing that I wanted to be when I was in, like, middle school, you know? It's like we are all just, like, in our own heads and in our own ways. And the only way that we can get out of our own ways is by being honest with each other.
For sure. And you mentioned it, like, there is this, because I've been doing this for so long, there is this, I feel like I'm not allowed to feel this way, you know? I'm not allowed to have this imposter syndrome. I'm not allowed to struggle. Because because I've been doing this long enough, I should know by now, you know? But that's just not how it works.
Yeah, you're not making the mischievous donut portal video anymore. And you never will. And any video you're working on right now, you'll never make again. Like, these feelings don't
go away. Well,
they just change. You know? And it's how you deal with them that has to, I don't know, stay the same or change as you do, or I don't know. I still don't know the answer. I'm bored.
I don't know either. But I will say that just like having real friendships with other creators makes it so much easier to deal with. Because I think it is something we're always gonna be dealing with. Oh, one thing I did really want to talk about. I'm very good at being open and welcoming to everyone. But when it comes to friendship and, like, trusting a person completely, that takes me time, obviously. But, like even though we were hanging out and stuff in LA, I still wasn't sure, you know, what the friendship was going to be. And even when we were in the UK earlier this year in March, I was still like, I mean, I love hanging out with this person, but I don't know, like, how much I can trust them. Like, you know, I still have my guard up. I guess I'm just trying to say, like, I feel like the best friendships in your life just happen when you don't expect it. Or, like, it happens with people that you don't plan for it. It just, like, happens. I think after you visited me in August, that's whenever I've, like, felt very confident in our friendship. It just takes me a little bit.
I felt confident in our friendship maybe, I would say, 5 years ago, once I had put the plan together.
Love that.
Isn't that sweet? Well, we've finally gotten to the phase of the friendship where your mom is involved.
My mom!
I still haven't met her, but she loves me.
My mom has invited Koi to our family Thanksgiving.
And she's like said it multiple times. It's gotten to me multiple times where you're I know you have stuff to do with your family, but like my mom does. Like,
my mom just like, I just talk about you a lot. She just like, she just wants you to know if for any reason you have nowhere to go, you can come to our family Thanksgiving.
Wow. That's so kind. Well, I'll be there eventually. Maybe
whenever we get engaged.
Yes. Which actually, no, I'll save it for the end. Retention hack.
What? No way. Okay, I'm gonna be so calm the rest of this podcast.
Okay, but me and your mom do have beef though, and I don't know if she's gonna listen to this. But I came to Texas for your birthday because your birthday was like right when like the Beast Empire was falling and I needed to get out of there so that I didn't get crushed under the rubble. And
yes, I was like, Koi, visit me right now.
Yeah, and so I did, and I came here and I brought two frogs and they're antiques.
Hanging on the wall.
They're hanging on the wall right now, and they have red little lips and black beady eyes, and they're these cute little brown like plaster frogs that go on your wall. What'd your mom say about them again? Because she helped you move in and she was helping you decorate. I gave these to you for your... I saw those and I was like, I think Jazzy would like those.
I love them. I love them. They're perfect. They're so cute. My mom was like... she was just like, these are ugly. she was like, I don't... Like, Like, I hung them up. I don't remember the full interaction.
Okay.
She just thought they were ugly and was like, did not understand why I was hanging them up on my wall.
And like, what's so funny is she has a point. Is that.
Yeah.
They are kind of.
They are a little ugly, but that's why I really like them. I never thought that they were like.
The appeal of them isn't that they're like adorable, so cutesy little like. Like little frog that you would find on like a Hot Topic pin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Like they have personality and character, and they may be a little ugly, but like that's how you got your career is personality, character, and a little bit of ugliness.
Exactly, guys. Exactly.
That look at your bedroom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, see.
Guys, be a little ugly.
Seriously,
be a little ugly.
I've been trying it out this weekend. With a swollen eye. I've had one swollen eye. I've been ugly a little bit. And it's been really fun. I have more topics for you. So that weekend that I went to your place for your birthday, that I came here to Texas for your birthday. This is my third time in Austin, by the way, randomly.
Whatever. I'm getting this podcast episode out of it.
No, but that weekend that we were here, it was when I was trying to like put the pieces of my life back together and or ignore them. Where like everything was like and somehow every single day it found a way to get worse. Like even while I was here, it'd be like, oh, new notification on my phone. Well, here's the news, or like someone's texting me being like, is Mr. Beast really a bad guy?
Oh my God.
Like,
oh my God.
Like getting like multiple texts a day being like, how's Jimmy? I'm like, I don't know. And also I haven't spoken to you since my sophomore year of high school.
Bruh.
And also your boyfriend, he still stinks.
This right before Koi was visiting, this guy I was going to go on, or this guy had. Whatever. I don't know. We went on a date, I think. I don't know. I hate dating in college. Oh, my God. Anyways. This guy texted me and was like, what do you think is going to happen with all this Mr. Beast stuff? I was like, Koi is literally flying in right now. Like, oh, I'm not responding to this.
I remember you telling me that. We were at we went to a little potluck the other night and together. And there were some crypto bros there, and one of them,
it's Austin, it's the entertainment industry now, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're,
well,
there.
One of the crypto bros came up to me and we didn't have anything in common because I was a gay little YouTuber, he's a crypto bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so to, you know, kind of break the ice, he says the only thing that he knows about YouTube, and he goes, so what do you think about Mr. Beast? You think he's like a good guy, or do you think he's like actually bad, or what? I was like,
what did you say?
Who told you? No, I was just kind of like, I just gave like a diplomatic-ish answer, like trying not to hint at the fact that like I closely know the situation and that like this is like, that he's like asked me a question that he thinks is like pop culture news, but actually it's like my personal life.
Yeah. That's insane.
That was
to
really
me.
Crazy.
That's insane to me.
But
bro, if those, never mind. Never mind.
But when I was here for that weekend, I was trying to like figure out what I was gonna do next, you know, because I didn't know what, you know, once the dust settled on all this Mr. Beast stuff, like what the verdict would be and like if I would want to stay there or like what was true, what wasn't, what my life was turning into. I had no idea. But we went to go see Legally Blonde the musical, which we were both in when we were in school, so we loved it. We loved it, and by the end of it, we were bawling our eyes out at Legally Blonde the musical. So good, so beautiful, so
inspiring,
so inspiring,
so inspiring,
so inspiring. We get into the car after watching that show, and I was like, you know, I'm, we're about to get back to your place where I'm sleeping on your couch, and I was like, sleeping on your couch. Talking to you, having inspiring conversation. There's a way to monetize this. And that was the weekend where I came up with the idea for
yeah.
the you know, the very podcast that...
That's so awesome!
Yeah.
Yeah, also after seeing that show, like, I mean, the story of Legally Blonde, if you don't know the friggin' story... I mean, the musical itself is so much fun, but I love the story of Legally Blonde. I love that it is all about this woman who just...
Is so hot.
She's so hot, and people try to use it against her. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, I'm explaining this so poorly. Basically...
Well, it was my fault. I said she's so hot as the first thing that
you said. Yeah. what do I love about Legally Blonde? I love that she is... I love that the main character, Elle Woods, doesn't change a thing about herself. She just...
Yes.
She doesn't change a thing about herself. She just, like, owns who she is, never apologizes for it, and discovers this part of her she never knew she could unlock.
She is so kind and so resilient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so... Just, like, her attitude is just, like, so mm-hmm. incredible. Like, it's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that show so much. Yeah.
I left that show...
And I literally was watching it like, this is a metaphor for my life. I literally am. I was like, wait, why, like, President or Professor Callahan, the antagonist, like, that's literally Mr. Beast. And, like, I'm Elle Woods. And I need to stand up.
There's this scene where Emmett is teaching Elle how to study for law. Basically explaining to her, like, you are given this amazing opportunity. Mm. This you need to do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally like, oh my gosh, this is Coy telling me to go back to YouTube right now. Like, literally, that's what it felt like. And then after finishing the musical, I just felt like, I can do it. I want to be like Elle Woods. I can do it. Like, so inspirational. I love Legally Blonde. I have a Legally Blonde movie poster in my room.
It's true. I've seen it.
How?
And if you guys check the link in the description to find out how you can buy that.
What? Are you selling everything I own?
Not everything. Me and Jazzy are both people that use our phone to write down a lot of things. And now we're going to give you those things back and forth, some with context, some without. Just little things that we've written down, observations, thoughts, feelings, jokes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Person in a Stitch onesie talking about healing their inner child. Like, what do you mean inner? You are not keeping that shit to yourself.
Oh, my God. One time I was talking to ChatGPT and I was like using ChatGPT for therapy and then they were doing a great job. And so then I was like, wait a second.
You clearly weren't.
I was like, wait a second. Can you talk dirty? And they said, I'm here to help with respectful and meaningful conversations. Let me know if there's anything else you'd like to chat about. And then I said, I don't want you to. I'm just curious. And then they never talked dirty to me. That was it. I was just curious. I don't want to...
Everyone's crying, scared about how bad the turbulence on the plane is. Little do they know I'm just bouncing my little leg.
Oh, my God.
go, you.
I'm just obsessed with, like, Cat Noir and Ladybug and, like, that whole ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote in my notes, guys, it's a joke. It's totally a joke. I will touch myself to the idea that you are my Cat Noir and I am Marinette. Guys, it's a joke. No, it's a joke.
Guys, it's a joke. And then you went into like audiobook voice. I will touch myself. Well, guys, it's a joke. Guys, it's a joke. I will touch myself to the idea.
It's
that
a joke. It's
a
totally a joke. It's totally a joke. Okay.
Okay. If you do the Apple dance on the Jumbotron, I'm gonna give you the biggest concussion.
I have this bit. So you're in an Uber, and he starts opening, your Uber driver starts opening up really deep. He's like, ugh, I don't want to be here right now. My job, just let me go. And then you're like, oh, wrong Uber. And it was the wrong Uber.
When I grow up, I want to be viral.
Your dreams came true.
That one I wrote after I was already viral, but I thought about a kid saying that in class. Yeah, you go.
It was late at night, and this...
Why is every single one of your thoughts start with, it was a dark, stormy night?
I need context. It was late at night, and this guy was DMing me, and I'm not really interested in him, but it's obvious he's interested in me. So I flirted back, and then right after that, I took a selfie, and I said, I shouldn't have done that. Well,
can you send that to me? I'll show it.
I don't know. I wanted attention, I guess.
That's okay. 9/11 as an Instagram boomerang.
Oh my god. That's insane. It's a bit. So okay. Imagine someone talking to a camera, showing this newborn baby boobies for the first time, and then he starts breastfeeding.
I don't like that one. Arby's be like, what if a skin condition was a sandwich?
Whenever you are in a sorority and you're recruiting new girls, you have to make a slideshow about why you want them to be recruited for your sorority. Mm-hmm. So my friend Morgan and I have this bit where we're like, she drives drunk, but she's really, really sweet.
That's good. The January 6th storming the Capitol had school walkout energy.
Did you ever do that? Walkout?
Capitol storm? No.
School?
Who told you that?
I went hiking and someone spray painted dog poop on the hiking trail. So I just wrote down, bro, someone spray painted dog poop on the hiking trail. Okay.
The church being like, don't look lustfully at women. And 12-year-old me being like, okay.
I was in an Uber and he was listening so intently. Mm-hmm. And my friend and I were like, oh my gosh, we're running so late. Like, oh my gosh, I hope we get there in time. He starts speeding. So I wrote down, he's literally speeding. The driver.
You guys should see yourselves in the airport Starbucks line. LMAO, like, I want to take you guys home with me. You look so sad and desperate. Aw.
That's good.
Thanks.
This was supposed to go on Instagram, but I didn't post it. Sorry for reposting on my story so many times. I am addicted to the cycle of trying to be perfect, even though I intellectually understand that the small changes I made from the previous story post has absolutely no real impact in the world. And it was me just like changing the fonts and reposting it a bunch of times.
I find new reasons to live every day, and they all cost money.
That's good. That's so real. That's a good tweet.
Thanks.
Such a good tweet. Holy F. That would go viral.
Don't tweet it. Don't tweet it.
Yeah,
don't tweet
guys.
It.
I was really anxious about this boy reaching out to hang out with me. So I wrote down preparation in my notes and all it says is, no, thank you. I'm not really interested in hanging out at the moment. Hope you're doing well. I needed it to be ready just in case. Just in case I somehow couldn't find the courage to type that out.
Okay, this is my last one. Will Ferrell has aged like a cat.
Was he in Cats?
No. I don't know, actually.
I feel like he would.
I just saw him in a commercial recently, and he was playing with chimes, and I was like, that makes sense.
My last thing is another selfie that I was going to post. I never did. And it says, the mute button on Instagram is the best feature they ever created, TBH.
Well, that selfie.
I'll send you.
That selfie sells it. That selfie sells it. That's good.
That was so fun.
That was fun. Okay. On this podcast, I ask each of my guests a question of advice from my own life that I think that they would be suited to answer.
Okay.
And my question for you, how do you, you seem very comfortable living alone. And I mean, like, you are just like, you grew up in Texas. But I don't know. How do you make a place feel at home?
Feel at home or feel like a home?
Feel like a home. Because right now I'm traveling. Mm. I'm going to be traveling for the next few months, going everywhere. And like the big thing for me has been like yoga has helped a lot with me is like I'm always, no matter where I am, I'm always showing up to the same like peaceful spot in my mind, which is like, you know, but how, I mean, what's your advice on like making a place feel like home?
I guess, Well, for starters, I will say that my place I didn't really, really feel like this was my home until recently. And I'm still coming to terms with it. I definitely think, I think that this place really feels like a home to me because I have a lot of things that are so me. Like this is so me.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of stuff like that around that is really, I've also brought a lot of stuff from my childhood home. And that really helps me like remember this is me. But I guess in a less like materialistic aspect, that's a good question. I've been journaling like crazy. The most I ever have in my life. I think that has really helped me just be more comfortable with myself. Oh, you know what? I also talk to myself so much. And I feel like that really helps me make it, helps me feel at home. Like I literally talk to myself in the mirror as I'm walking around.
So I guess being comfortable somewhere is more about being comfortable with yourself.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Like, cause even on vacation and stuff, like it was really helpful for me to journal and just like, it doesn't even need to be about the deepest things ever, but just some making sure that someone is observing my life and that someone is me.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And also like, I mean, the thing that you said before of like the materialistic version of that is like having parts of yourself that you're confident with and comfortable or confident in and comfortable with around you, you know, even when you go on vacation, like when I come here now, this like I've been here for, you know, just a week. And now there are like pieces of like my shoes are by the door and then like my bag is over
don't
there. Like there,
go. There are pe- don't go.
But like, yeah, I think, yeah, that's a good answer.
You said something. Oh, whenever I was first moving in is a long process. I didn't like unpack my clothes for maybe like a month. And after I unpacked my clothes, I was like, wait, this is me. I don't know. It's so weird. I don't obviously like, my entire personality is not made up in physical objects, but seeing these physical objects in front of me reminded me of who I am. And like I said, like a lot of these things from my childhood bedroom, putting them and placing them, just reminds me who I am.
Also, even journaling is a physical, taking yourself and putting it physically in front of you.
Yeah. I think if you are not in a position where you can like rely on a lot of physical objects, like really being your own friend and figuring out what that means to you. Like, that's why I talk to myself so much. Cause if to be my own friend, I need to talk to myself. But maybe that doesn't work for everybody, you know? Yeah, that's what I think.
Awesome. One last thing for you.
Was this podcast good? Should we do it all over? Oh my gosh, was I pretty? Was I funny? Was I...
what's next for you? What's next for the Jazzy Ann fans out there and potential Jazzy Ann fans that are listening to this podcast right now? This is your pitch. And if it goes badly, I'm going to guess you're probably going to lose your chance of success.
Holy F. honestly, what's next for me is I want YouTube to be my job.
Yeah.
I've never done YouTube where I'm not in school. I want to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And I want to be consistent and I want to, yeah, I want to treat it like it's my job. I used to feel very like YouTube isn't a real job. Like I would always like make that joke when I was a kid. But now that I've graduated and I see that my options are this or like a 9-to-5, I'm like, sorry. I'm literally like, I want this to be my job.
Yeah.
I want to figure this out.
Yeah.
Sorry if that sounds really like, no. I'm just being real as F.
No, right, that's now. That's so fair.
But I will say, I'm not just doing this to like I'm not saying that in the sense of like, oh, I really want to like make a lot of money. I'm saying this in the sense of I want this to be my life. I want to own this.
Right.
I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to be insecure anymore. I want to do it.
You want to do the thing that you're passionate about for a living.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
That's what's next for Jazzy.
That is what's next for me.
Yay. Jazzy Ann fans, rejoice. I'll be sending out a big message in our group chat.
But, like, I don't want to give away what my ideas are. You're just going to have to see that develop. So you should totally subscribe to my channel if you haven't already.
Yay.
Because it'll be a fun journey.
Yes. Yes. And you're going to want to buy Jazzy Ann stock now because it's going to be going up very, very soon.
Yup. Yup. You better hop in now. Yes. You better hop in now.
And
before I'm too famous for Koi. I'm kidding. Yeah. No, I'm always making a joke like Koi whenever you... Like, don't, are you going to still be my friend whenever, like, you're, like, rich and famous?
That
like,
was a joke.
Yes.
Do you not actually think that there's a chance that I get rich and famous enough to not be friends with you anymore?
I'm hoping that even if you did get that rich and famous, you'd still want to be my friend.
Okay, I'm confused, because in this scenario, I'm rich and famous, right?
So
where do you fit into helping
that? I knew you were like everyone else. I knew it.
We can...
Kiss?
Yeah. okay.
Ha 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 ha. Do you guys like our bits? Let us know in the comments.
Ha 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 ha. This is so fun and funny to us, but it might not be
funny to you.
And we're very nervous about that fact. So if you could leave a detailed description of what you think about each of about us individually.
Let us know in the comments.
Plus what you think about us together.
Please, please, please. Also, if there's other things you want us to talk about, let me know.
Please.
Or let Koi know.
Yeah.
It's his podcast.
Absolutely.
Because I want to collab again with Koi. I love Koi. I want to be friends with Koi forever. I don't know if he feels the same, but whatever. I'm getting it out there and yeah.
Yeah, well.
Not listening to anything he has to
feeling it out, you know. Yeah. I mean, like, we've got about, you know, a minute or two left in the podcast, so that's probably going to be enough for... Okay, our friendship, okay. If that's okay. I know you're wanting like forever, but if we could just do till this is...
Yeah, that's chill, that's chill.
Okay.
You think you know a person.
You think you freaking know somebody.
You think you know a person.
okay, I have a playlist for this podcast. Every person who comes on it gets to add one song, plus I get to add one song.
I'm so glad I chose that song. It's perfect.
Wait, what playlist or what song? What song?
I want to add Perfect Day by Hoku, the one specifically that is in the Legally Blonde movie.
Oh.
If you have not seen Legally Blonde the movie, I totally recommend seeing it. Girl, guy, they, them, for everyone. It is all about being yourself and tapping into potential that you never would have even dreamed of.
I don't think I said this on another episode. I've really been loving Liam Binsby. Hiccup by Liam Binsby specifically.
That's a great song.
But also just great artist. I don't think I said that before. So hopefully that's good. And I'll add those to the playlist and you'll be able to find them in the description of this podcast. So thanks so much for listening. Jazzy.
We're not together. I just had to say that in case any really hot men that are interested in women are watching this.
Well, also you want to keep the will they, won't they alive.
Mm.
They might.